Welcome to Christ Today. We are going over Volume 3 of Preparedness Thoughts on this program. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, give us understanding and discernment as we address this subject. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On this subject of preparedness, there are so many opinions and ideas that I think what we should do is to look, because each of us is an individual. And let us investigate our own orientation towards it, and as we consider what our concerns are, and then what to do about those concerns, that is where we should settle on a position to move forward. Every one of us has different thoughts and concerns. What I hope to do here is to give you ideas. Some ideas will seem good to you, and some won't. But I hope to inspire your thoughts so that you can investigate what you want to do. Lots of people would be willing to tell you what to do, but I believe your own ideas will be the best ideas. I believe you can identify what it is that concerns you and how to answer those concerns. You might even consider, what if you had no budget that you had to adhere to? And now, if you think about this for a minute, what it does is it lets you freely identify what your solutions would be to the problems that you foresee. And after you do this examination with no budget, then you can re-examine your possibilities and limit them by what your budget requires. Now, I hope this program inspires you to think. And here we go. Now, my normal opening to preparedness thoughts is, we invite Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to guide us as we examine how our preparations can be used to preserve the life of ourselves, our family, and others. And then I close the programs with, start your preparations now before there is an urgent need and what you want is hard to find. Remember to give thanks to God for the blessings that you do have. Okay, so now we're going to start this, which I am calling my Volume 3, which is multiple episodes of Preparedness Thoughts. Okay, now I would say that just because I talk about preparing, it does not mean that I have a negative view of things. I think positive. I see people and I find something positive in them. I like the world and I like being alive a lot. And I hope that my neighbors, people in my locality, and even people in the big old federal government has a positive, hopeful view. I hope for them, too. We have to pray for them, all of them. But at the same time, we realize not everyone has a good orientation. They're not all decent people, but most of the people are substantially good and decent people. There are a few truly evil people, but they have a sense of their own morality also, and we can just recognize it and realize that we don't want to be a part of what they have. So be aware of things. Be aware of things which are not of God, and Yes, be aware, but do not dwell in that area. Now, we can look at what God's word and what his orientation is. We can see the festivals of God, and we can even look at New Year's days for the normal world, and we can take some time, whenever these things happen, to renew our hope. Hope in our fellow mankind, hope in our country, and hope in our God-given freedom, through which we can choose to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. Surely, be aware of sin and decay around us, but dwell in our hope, and that is symbolized by the cross of Christ. And it can be seen in the example of how we want to live righteously in Jesus Christ and through his example. Jesus, by example and by the commandment which he gave us to love one another as I have loved you. That just kind of gets me. Yes, it's one that we should always remember and strive for. It is love that we want to dwell on. And maybe we say it, maybe we don't say it a lot. It just depends. But certainly, we do actions which show love. And what is it to love? I think it has something to do with considering what is best for the other person. And that includes eternal life in heaven. That includes salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible indicates love includes something about giving your life for another person. Huh, well, that's a lot to think about, isn't it? Yeah, it's a big, big thing. Well, another thing I think about is praying. And I want to remind everyone, whether they're age 8 or age 88, whatever your circumstances, whatever your abilities or limitations, you can always pray. And we are called upon to pray. God cherishes our prayers. And the way I examine this, I see that prayer goes around the world. And it is my impression that prayer goes instantly to where we pray about. And we are told to pray continuously, so that's, I think, a good thing to remember. Well, we have a lot to be thankful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. And that is something we should always do, is give thanks to God. This country has a foundation of godly principles, written by godly men. A few men were not godly, but it seems to me that they were decent. All right, so the foundations of the United States of America started well before the United States Declaration of Independence. It goes back to the Pilgrims who were seeking the freedom to worship God in the best way that they knew how. And this was a little bit different from those around them. Those people who were Christians, Protestants, and Anglicans, they worshiped too, but the Pilgrims thought that their way was more pure. So they loved God so much that they wanted to worship God in the best way that they knew how. And to do that, they looked for a place where they could worship God the best that they knew how. That was a primary motive to come to another land, a new land, America. So they were wanting to do this for worship. That was a main reason. They weren't free to worship as they wished in their homeland. So they went on an incredibly long and difficult journey across the Atlantic Ocean. I think they had a pretty good idea that there was a land, America, you could call it, across the ocean, but it's still, hearing the stories and believing it's there is not the same as knowing it was there. It still took a lot of faith to make that trip across that huge Atlantic Ocean. That trip took bravery and fortitude, and that tradition is in our history. Like I said, they crossed the ocean largely to worship God in the best way that they knew how. They went to a new land, a place that was wild and untamed. In those days, that's how America was. I think they hoped to nourish all the people around with the word and the glory of the God of the Bible. After the ocean crossing, they had to settle into this frontier land. And, of course, they grew food to live. Well, they sure tried to, but during that first winter, they died. They both starved to death and they died from the cold weather. Of the 102 pilgrims that landed on the shores of America, 44 died that first winter. 102 landed and 42 died. Wow! I think that they all loved God and they were seeking to do God's will. So I'd suppose they all went to heaven. It was a godly thing what they were doing. Still, I cannot help but wonder, why did such a high percentage of them die? I don't know. But my point here is doing what we see God's will to be does not ensure that we will not have difficulties on this earth, or even that we will continue life on this earth. Nope, I don't know what the future holds for us, even as we strive to do God's will. Heaven is assured for us, but life on earth, that can change. And I think this shows that we must be prudent and smart as we live, that it is good to have extra food stored and be prepared for the what, the just in case, as we live and really try to do God's will. I often say that we do not know what surprise or what trouble might be coming our way. For all situations and all problems, I do think that the best way we can get through the difficulty and end up at a comfortable place is to be part of a community. That's something we should look for if we do indeed face some pretty serious hard times. It may be made up of your neighbors, and it also may be made up of like-minded believers. People with shared values can have consistent goals, and this allows your work efforts to be more effective for the long term. And that's a nice thing. Well, I suppose there will be people who would not be able to integrate into a group. Just the way they are, they want to be independent and away from people, and that's what they're going to choose. You will have to choose for yourself whether you want to be independent or part of a larger group. There are benefits to being a part of a larger, cohesive group. And I think this will be so notable that really you will want to be a part of a community, if it is all possible. But realize that a part of being a community does require rules. Now, this is something that will take some investigation. You know, it just might be it requires only one rule, and that is to love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. That is His commandment. Or do you like the Ten Commandments? Those are 10 good commandments. You know, there's another possibility too. You can look at some modern law book. They have all sorts of things that are called commandments, or let's say they're laws in that. Well, I don't mean I know the answers to this. I just bring up the questions. There's lots of questions and lots of answers. And I hope that if there is a big event that happens, you will find the most situation for you, which you can. Maybe you already know your proposed course and what you want to do. Or maybe you can think real fast and real good, come to conclusions right at the spur of the moment. But for most of us, we would have to think of various ideas and consider ideas before we come to a conclusion and an action plan of what to do. So because it takes a little time for us to look at the possibilities here, I think it's a good idea for us to take a look beforehand and see what kind of thoughts you would have in your mind, and just a little bit you think how you could find answers to those possibilities or problems or solutions. You just give it a little thought, get a head start on addressing some of these questions. Yeah, they're obscure, they are unusual, but they just might happen. So if you give a little pre-thought to it, I think it's a good idea. Ideas is what this program is about. You can consider some, you can discard some. Either way, it's good. Just get your thinking going so you can think about what would happen for the just-in-case situations. Yep, a little consideration can make a big difference towards making a wise decision. Choices which appeal to your sense of what is appropriate, that's where you want to look. There's lots of questions here, and get a head start on looking at them. So, Yellowstone. Yellowstone just gets my attention. You see, it is classified as a supervolcano caldera. It's a huge one. It's known worldwide. The United States Geological Survey, or the USGS, says that the eruption of Yellowstone supervolcano caldera would be ever so much greater than the Mount St. Helens volcanic eruption. Not 100 times greater, not even 1,000 times greater, but they say it would be, or could be, 2,000 times greater than the Mount St. Helens volcanic eruption. Well, it could lower the Earth's temperatures. They call that the average Earth temperatures. And it could cover much of the United States with ash. We just don't know. But the speculation is that it would take about 6 years to recover enough for the Earth to have a good crop yield again of our food crops. Ha! That's a long time to go without normal food. I don't know what it means, but I like to look at the different things around us and see what people are talking about. And that is one of the subjects that people talk about, not in everyday life, but if you look, you see it. So, 6 years. Well, I sure am way, 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 way short of having a 6-year supply of food. I'll tell you that's for sure. That is not me. But how seriously should you take this warning? It's a good question. I don't know. I ask you to look seriously at any of the words of caution around us. And then you decide, because it's all a personal choice. You know, we don't normally think of these kind of things, but things happen. Hurricane Katrina was a big problem for many people. Most people didn't think it would affect them, but it affected some pretty seriously. So we do face dangers of natural disaster kind of things. Oh, we face dangers from earthquakes, and all these things can happen. What will happen? We don't know. There could be a grain virus or fungus. We could have something that affects the vegetables, our crops, just plain old and ordinary, but it would reduce the crop yield. So there's a lot of different possible problems, and there are a lot of solutions, but just give it some thought. Oh, yep, I almost forgot to mention the electrical grid. That's one. Oh boy, if that were to fail, that's a big one. The authorities are not sure that they could turn it on again. If the whole grid goes down, it's gone down before in parts, but not the whole thing. And the experts have calculated that if the electrical grid were to go down for 1 year, it just might happen that 60 to 90% of the U.S. population would die. That's what they say. It's hard for me to believe. It really is. But if you think about it, you can see that we really are dependent on our electrical grid. I don't know if that possibility is truly the way it is, but it sure would be a problem. So, unlikely? Yeah, I think it's unlikely. A worst-case scenario? Sure, unlikely, but you have to think about it. I just want to present ideas to you, and then you think, well, what should I do about this? And then do something. You know, just like a home being robbed, my home, your home, it's very unlikely. But I still lock my doors, and probably you do too. So we do take steps that are just precautionary. Well, these are weighty matters. We don't know what the real answers are. We can't tell if anything is a problem is away in a few days or in a few months or a few years. But I don't think there's anything wrong with having some supplies that would just sustain you in the event of some kind of a natural disaster. I simply urge you to think of different possibilities, and then you get to do whatever your conscience calls upon you to do. It's really pretty easy, but, you know, like I always say, just do something. Give it some thought, give it some consideration, and then take those steps, make a plan, and do something. Well, it happened that I was home one Friday night. I came home, and there was an electrical problem. The electricity went off. The circumstances were, well, they were complicated. It wasn't just an easy thing, and I ended up with no electricity until Monday. Ha! That was quite an experience, and I want to tell you what it was like for me to be without electricity for the weekend. You know, here I am, the preparedness guy, no electricity for the weekend, no problem. Well, that's what I thought. Well, I'd like to tell you about it. In a way, it wasn't a problem, but in a way, it really kind of was a problem. You see, for me, this was a lesson. This was a good lesson. Here I am, like I said, an advocate of preparation. And so I have to be glad it happened so that I could tell about it, tell you about it. And it was a surprise. So here's what affected me the most. Well, there are three things. One was heat. Two was communication, which is my cell phone. Three was the lights. That there wasn't, if it wasn't for the gas stove, cooking would have been difficult. But I had the propane camp stove in case I needed it. But we had gas in the home, so that worked out well. I was glad to have gas. But no electricity. Again, the effects on me were, one, heat. Two, communication. That is, I could not recharge my phone easily. And three, the light, especially at night. So I had warm clothes, I had flashlights, I had things which were made it pretty easy in a way, but it's still like being on crutches. I don't know if you've ever been on crutches, but on crutches you can still get around, you can still do what needs to be done. It just takes time to get it done. Those were things I could do. It just was not as easy as it would have been otherwise. Yeah, and it was kind of cold, but, you know, extra clothes worked that pretty good. That little experience reminded me of Paris, France, in the Middle Ages. Yep, long time ago, but this is a true story of how some hundred of years ago, the houses, they were farmhouses, and they were often three stories or four stories. A relatively small building, but rather high. The farm animals would stay at night at the lowest story. And this was to keep the animals safe from the predators, and the animals being inside would be a heat source for the people who lived in the upper stories of the house. Today, we cannot even imagine allowing a smelly animal in the house for the night. But, well, that's what they did. That's what they had to do at the time. You see, in a disaster, we do what we have to do in a serious disaster. And we take time to do whatever's necessary to get by. And we do whatever we have to do as long as it's moral and it is done in a good, God-fearing way. But I tell my listeners this, you who are listening, that these things are unlikely to, for the present day. It's just an example of how things were. Because some people see possibilities of all sorts of things, either good things happening in life or the possibility of a disaster and changing situations. I don't know, but I want you to evaluate the possibility of events happening. You have to make evaluations, whether it's a plain old event or a huge disaster. There's things that happen in life. And when you figure this out and figure out what you want to do, go ahead. Take some reasonable steps to fulfill your plan for the just-in-case possibilities. Only you can determine for your own self what could happen and then what a responsible, reasonable plan of action would be. Consider your own plan. You figure out what it is that you want to be concerned about, and then you take the steps that are reasonable to prepare. Well, I do wonder when things will happen. Most people also wonder about questions like when something will happen. Will something happen tomorrow? Next month? Next year? It's for sure we don't know. But in times of trouble, we do wonder about the people who we know and the people we love. And of course, we don't know what will happen, but we are concerned and we know that we can ease this concern by knowing that people are prepared or that we are prepared. Whatever it is, for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, whatever it is. Just, it's nice to be prepared. And some people prepare with insurance. You know, people have insurance, or they have savings, or they have a retirement fund, or even a first aid kit is a form of insurance. Sure, we get things for that just in case. And that's what I am advocating, having a little just-in-case insurance kit. You have to decide what it contains, though. And the trouble is, we just don't know what kind of trouble to expect. There's lots of things that it could be. From our car, or for that matter, keeping stuff in our car that we would want or need. And things in our home that we would want or that we would need. You know, all these things are for the just-in-case situation. Some people will want to be prepared for fires, for earthquakes, for tornadoes. It's just give it some thought and figure out what kind of things you want to be concerned with. In Matthew chapter 24, it talks about some pretty big events in that one. So we can look at ordinary needs. We can look at what you need every single day. That's effectively, it's food and water. The water is a key thing. You want to be sure to look into that really good, because without it, the water coming out of your tap, how would you get it? Oh, I just want people to know. Have some water stored. Food's good too. We get hungry. So I want you to know that in the past, there have been all sorts of things that have happened. There have been plant funguses. There have been locust or grasshopper infestations. Crops would be decimated, and it would go over wide areas. It did happen. It has happened in the past, and it could happen in the future. Things happen in other countries as well. Even today, there are crop failures. People are hungry. People are starving. In more than a few parts of the world, they need food, and they don't have it locally available. But we have food available in our country right now. And the time to buy something is when it is plentiful. It is plentiful now. Now is a good time to buy some storable foods. Now, when it's plentiful, and not when it is in short supply. Like I said, everyone needs water and food to live. So I urge everyone to get some extra food and, of course, store some extra water. It's a good thing. It removes your long-term anxiety because you have some food for that just in case. And I say get grains, sugar, salt, and oil. These things go a long way. Sure, you can add to that. There's a lot you can add. The list is long. But those are things that'll get you through the situation. Grains, sugar, salt, oil. Flavorings are really good too. All sorts of flavorings. You just have to decide what you like. Because food is important. Historically, famines have happened plenty. And we can't say that it will happen again, and we can't say that it won't happen again. We just don't know. But I do take note that famine is mentioned as a sign of the end of the age. So you just have a look at that. See what you can do so that you have a decision. Examine the situation and then do something about it. Now, before a problem arrives. And we don't know when, we don't know how, but it can be for biblical reasons or it can be for worldly reasons. Just recognize it is possible for there to be a famine or a water shortage. And now, because we are all free men with good minds, I urge you to look at the situation for yourself. You can choose to do nothing, but by doing nothing, who knows what'll happen? It's possible you could become a statistic in the matter. I hope not, but you can make that choice of doing nothing, or you can make an action plan for that just-in-case situation. That will help you to get through whatever it is that you are thinking about. And only you can examine this and come to a conclusion and an action plan. Yep. Sure, I'd like to know what is coming. I really would. But even if I did know, how much attention would I pay to it? Because after all, I'm kind of doing what I can right now. So, is there anyone I can listen to? Anyone I can get advice from? What should I do? Well, you know that there are politicians who would like to give you advice. They seem to be the loudest. They talk a lot. So, but I don't think they have a really good record of looking at what the problems are and how to fix them. Yeah. So, what else? Who else can we look to predict what kind of things could happen in the future? Well, there are historians. Historians study the past, not the future, but you could listen to them and see what kind of patterns emerge. It's an idea. How about Bible scholars? They say the Bible is always right, and I'd say that's true. We just don't know quite when things will happen. When is a question. There's other people who look to other people, different spiritual entities like Nostradamus or fortune tellers. But you know what? It's really hard to decode what they are saying. And they only have a 50-50 chance of being correct anyway. That's the same odds as flipping a coin. You cannot depend on them. So, as we look, we try to discern who has answers about what is happening, what will happen. Well, I know. How about prophetic Christians? Yeah, well, they tend to warn us instead of predict. They warn us of things to come so that we are able to change our behavior and live in a more godly fashion. That seems to be what most of these prophetic things are about. And it's valuable. It gives us more comfort and success in life to be good and godly people according to the Bible. So we can change our ways. Sometimes it takes the motivation of a prophetic word. But so back to prophetic. There's some things that are said that are very, very interesting about both the United States and the world. What can we expect? Well, in general, I would say there's a general theme about people who have a prophetic mystery. No, prophetic ministry about what is to come. A lot of people talk about spiritual darkness coming over the land, and that is followed by widespread difficulties or calamities. A physical reality that comes to the land. Now, this is not given as something that I'm trying to be negative about. It's just that it's said. So since it is said by people who do have prophetic ministries, I think it is just a good idea to give it some consideration. No one gives us dates, and no one talks, well, yeah, they do kind of talk about the events and the specifics of them. But the point is they are giving things that happen. They are talking about what can happen. And what do? We just keep considering these things. I know that one of the prophetic people was David Wilkerson. He gave some prophetic things, and what did he talk about? He talked about, well, he had a vision in 73. It is widely acclaimed, and it was he's acknowledged quite widely as being a prophetic man, or was a prophetic man, and his vision. Again, in 1973, he saw that there would be, one, a worldwide recession, two, earthquakes, famine, and cosmic fire from the sky, three, an abundance of filthiness, filth like pornography, four, rebellion in the home, five, Christian persecution. So those are things he foresaw. It was given a godly vision. And those are some pretty serious things. Recession, worldwide recession. One, two, earthquakes and famine and a cosmic fire from the sky. Three, an abundance of filth like pornography. Four, rebellion in the home. Five, Christian persecution, which would separate the true believers from those Christians who are in name only Christians. Another thing he talked about was a super world church and widespread homosexuality and occult practices. So these are things that he foresaw in a vision. And This Christian persecution does seem to be on the rise. Calamities do seem to be on the rise. Those are things that he talked about. But while we see that this is prophesied to come about, he then shouts, he shouted in his presentation, don't worry, because God has everything under control. And I want to say that again. Don't worry, because God has everything under control. God knows what will happen. So, we as Christians are not to be given to the spirit of fear, but rather to a sound mind. Don't let fear overtake you. Sure, there's some things happening, but they happen all around us now. It's just there will be a little different type of things around us. So whatever's happening, recession, earthquakes, famine, we can be aware of it, and we can take some few steps to get us through it. You know what? I still want to say these are problems, but it is up to each one of us. It's up to you to decide what to do. Yeah, one of the things I wonder about in his prophetic prediction was he said in the second category, which was earthquakes, famine, he said there would be cosmic fire in the sky. I do wonder what that means. I don't know what it means, but I wonder. There's a lot of possibilities. It's just one of those unknown things. But to me, it is another indication that we can take a few steps to be ready for, well, surprises. We sure don't know what they are, but God does. And he put us right here on earth for a time such as this. So we say, yes, Lord, and use our mind, our God-given intelligence, to discern what to do and then take steps to do it. Well, a little bit ago, I was in church. And before the service started, I was talking to a friend of mine. And just in passing, I said something about Jesus. Says that his return would be soon. And he replied, Jesus might return in 1,000 years. Well, in my mind, I started down a path as to why Jesus would return soon. But then I realized he had a good point. There's numerous reasons to believe that Jesus will return soon, but certainly we don't know when Jesus will return. God is in charge. He gave us indications, but that doesn't mean that there will be a soon return of Jesus. We just look for his soon return, and yeah, we look for it. We want it to be. But God's timing is not man's timing. So that's the way it is. No matter how many men believe it to be so, it still doesn't mean it is true in God's sight, so or in his plan. So we want to, sure, we can look at dates. To me, this is fun. I like to look at what other people think about in the future. And they are our people who see a soon coming of Jesus. The closest one is 2017. Hey, that's right now. And there's others who say it'll be 2023 or 2027 or 2037. You know what? It's interesting. All these things are interesting. It doesn't mean anything happened. There's a few people who say 2067. There's one argument as to why 2100 is a year. But we don't know. We don't know. And there's a question of what calendar do you use? The Gregorian calendar? The Hebrew calendar? There's variations here. We do not know. But we want to be prepared for whatever it is that is happening. So the real fact is no one knows, but a little preparation is a good thing. So in that similar direction, we do not know when a disaster would come. We do not know when any kind of event in the future happens. Sure, we can see signs, we can see indications, but we don't know what will happen, and we don't know when anything will happen. Sure, an inconvenience we don't want, but it could happen. A small inconvenience or a really big one. We don't know, but we want to do something. Something for that just in case. It's a little bit like looking at that rapture date. There's just too many possibilities. We just don't know. So we can't predict any date. We can't predict when there will be a volcano or a major earthquake. We just don't know. But some things will be good to have preparations for. Things happen. All sorts of things break. All sorts of things change. We have emergencies sometimes. An appliance might break. A fan belt on your car might break. You might have a flat tire or a kitchen fire. All these things happen on a regular basis. It's just not your turn. So when will it be our turn? I don't know. But like I say, a little preparation is a good thing. So that's what I'm doing, urging everyone to this idea, preparedness. On U.S. highways, there's a lot of people who die. There's an average of, well, it's about 50,000 people per year. What a lot of people. 50,000 people a year die on U.S. highways. It's really a reason to think about that kind of preparation. People die. And it's practically unbelievable that in 2004, there was the Indonesian tsunami. And it caused 230,000 people to lose their lives. 230,000. That's a lot of deaths. And by various counts, well, there's a wide range of number for how many people have died in the last 100 years of war, by war, both the active military and the civilian population. There have been lots of people who have died. And there's been numerous cases of even governments killing their own people. That's happened a lot in the last 100 years. Sometimes there's just not a thing we can do to reduce the deaths. Well, we can always pray, and that we should always do without ceasing. But sure, there's some things we can't do anything about, but let's do something that we can do. And that's why I say get a little prepared. And I say get prepared with those basics, those really simple things. And of course, our biggest concern is our family and loved ones. We don't want those people to either suffer or to die, especially if the problem is avoidable. We want to protect the people we love. And so how do we avoid a problem? Well, there's some things we can do. We can use normal safety, like having our seatbelt buckled. We can do things like changing the tires on our car or the fan belt or who knows what it is. And there's things that we can do that is safety in the home. Slips and falls are a major part of people being hospitalized and breaking bones and things. There's a lot of people who slip, who fall, especially people in retirement age. So that's something we can do something about, either by taking more care or maybe strips in the bathtub, adhesive strips that make it less slippery. So my point here is there are things that go on. Some things are just way beyond our control, like the suffering that goes on in war. But there's some things we can have a step in preventing. We can take steps now by stopping some death and suffering. Why? By taking preventative steps. And that's what I'm trying to present now. What is a preventative step? Yes, get some food, get some water. Water is a very first item of importance. And I say store it now while it's easy to get. It just comes out of the faucets. It's so easy. You don't have to carry it from the stream or treat it in any way. Store some water, please. This is a really big thing. For just about everything we do, we need water. It keeps our hands clean so we don't spread disease. Of course, we drink it. That's very, very important. We use it for cleaning all sorts of things, including our body. So, water. Water. I want to urge everybody to look at water really, really close. Yeah, I'm kind of overdoing it, but water is important. Get a few containers. Use your old juice containers, soda bottles, the plastic 1 liter ones, 1.5 liter bottles. All those things are good to store water in for the just in case situation. It's all good. Just get some water. So food is another item. Hey, water again. You need water to cook food if you're boiling some anything. Yeah, you need grains. You need it for dehydrated vegetables. So for the food part, I say get wheat, get sugar, get salt, get oil. Those things are your essentials. Wheat, sugar, salt, and oil. You can make things with that. You add flavorings, whatever flavorings suit you. But that's water, food, and these kinds of food, because grain lasts a very long time, especially wheat. Now, there's a few people who have allergies to wheat, and I think if you have an allergy to wheat, you might want to try an alternative grain. But get the whole grain. The whole grains keep their nutrition inside the hull, and when you grind it, it slowly loses its nutrition. So you will need a manual wheat grinder as well. And I suggest that everybody just learns a little bit about how to prepare wheatgrass. Because wheatgrass can be eaten raw as the raw form of wheatgrass. Or you can get a wheat juicer. Wheatgrass juicer. They cost about $35. It's not a big deal. And then you can drink that wheatgrass juice. Oh, it's not that great to taste, but it sure is healthy for you. So another thing about health is cast iron pot. We need iron in our diet, and a cast iron pot is a really, really good idea. We get the iron from cast iron. It's good, so get that too. Of course, you'll need the cook stove, the propane cook stove, a camp stove. And again, these are just for the just in case, but it'll sure make life easier to have these things and have a few 5 gallon jugs of propane. That's a good thing. Okay, you will want to pay attention to warmth. Warm clothes, sleeping bags, boots. Definitely you will want boots and walking shoes, probably both of them. And then you'll want the things for the just in case. What if the stove doesn't work? Have matches. You can even have a magnifying glass to start a fire. You will just go down that list of what those basics are and get them. There are not that many, but things like a magnifying glass or a compass or something to just some little containers, they're all good. So give it some thought and then do something. Shelter is another item. You keep your house intact. And if you can't, then you will want a tent. It's just an idea, but you get to figure it out. So a radio, very useful, very nice to have. Flashlights. I suggest two flashlights. One is the one for normal use that is very low power with a very long battery life. And the other one is a bright flashlight for looking at the distance, looking to see what is around, if there is something at night. It's surprising how many things happen at night. The animals come out, the people come out, all sorts of things. So have a little light. Don't use your batteries too fast, though. Oh, so, yeah, batteries are good. Okay. Whatever you do, you have to start. Get that list together and start doing something. Please, please, please get something together. These are the basic considerations. You can also look at lists. There's lots of lists. I have them, or you can contact lots of different agencies. There's the government agencies from FEMA to the Highway Patrol to a health clinic to corporations. All these different places have lists of what to do for preparation in case of emergency. Yeah, people take it seriously. Maybe you should too. So have a look and make that plan. Now, I know it might seem to my listeners that so often I talk to you about things which are not good. And in a sense, that is true. But I do this to illustrate that there is a reason to be careful, and there is a reason to be prepared, both to preserve your life and the life of others, and so that you will be prepared to meet death when it comes. Yeah, that's another part of it. We want to be comfortable in that. And please remember that we always want to give comfort and show hope to people in difficult situations, or just in life. Give comfort and show hope. Now, even in death, because the ultimate hope is eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ, we want to believe in Christ. And we want to show that belief by speaking and living in ways which please Him. By studying, we can learn that this is true. It is both true logically, with logic and rationale, and it is true from an emotional point of view. People come to Christ through logic and rationale, and people come to Christ through emotion. All these things point to Christ. You can find Christ in all these things. Most people come to Christ through an emotional situation. Well, if you do not yet believe, talk to Jesus and ask Him to reveal this truth to you. If you do believe now, then celebrate your belief and share it with others. Well, thank you for listening. And you can go listen to this again for free at www.christtoday.org. And then you look at the dates and you click on that. And like I said, you can listen to it again for free. There's also many, many very nice guests on this broadcast, and you can look them up at www.christtoday.org. If it's the preparedness part you're interested in, look at the dates of January 7th, 21, and 28, and then today, February 11th, 2017. Those dates again are January 7th, January 21st, January 28th. And today, February 11th, 2017. There is a lot going on, and I just urge you to look and to see what the situations around you are. If you like the broadcasts, if you want a recording, you can contact me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Or email me at prepareforgod@usa.com. Prepareforgod@usa.com. Phone 530-628-7222. You often will be leaving a message. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that these words will be used for Your goodness and Your glory, and that we do see preparation as You would have us to see, so that we can yield to Your will and live for You in this life. And we thank You for the hope and promise of our next life in Jesus Christ. We pray this in His name, and amen. Thank you, listeners. We will have guests again on the show next week and in the weeks afterwards. And I wish you well. Thank you.
inside your glory, glory.